B-Pod Studios.
Oh, yeah, it's 4 o'clock hour.
Exciting hour on Monday because our next guest is coming on. I realized he was coming on. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. Tonight is the debut of the Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook from 6 to 7 at the Super Buy Right of Williamstown, New Jersey, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and the Tile Shop, where pros go for exclusive savings, referral awards, and job site delivery. And a man who watched every down and can extrapolate the data from yesterday's Eagle win. Brian Westbrook, Brian, what's it mean, that win yesterday?
You know what? Good afternoon, Mike. Hey, it was a win. There was always some silver lining, some things you can work on, but it was a win, and that's the most important part for our Philadelphia Eagles. It was a good start, and anytime you start a season with a W, and your column, that's a good thing.
All right, we were wondering what the impact the DeSean Jackson would have. I didn't think he would have a direct impact as much as a kind of a wide open field impact. But yesterday, he stings them with two long balls.
Yeah, DeSean was awesome, and you know there were times last year, and we heard all the complaints about Zach Ertz getting too many targets, Carson only thinking about Zach Ertz, and I saw yesterday Carson surveying the field and finding the best matchup. And DeSean Jackson oftentimes was the best matchup. And Mike, I'll tell you this. I think that connection between Carson and DeSean, I think that's going to pay dividends for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. Now that's going to open up things for Zach Ertz a little bit more, for Nelson Aguilar just a little bit more, as well as for the running game, because defenses will be thinking about DeSean Jackson streaking down the middle of the football field.
All right, let's look at the first half. And what were your thoughts when they were kind of slogging on offense and didn't seem to find any kind of a rhythm at all?
It's funny. I was up in the box. I'm with David Akers and Freddie Mitchell and Ike Reese, and we're all saying the same thing. All the old guys, the old school guys, are saying the same thing. Well, this is what they get for not playing the guys in the preseason, not letting Carson take any reps. And, you know, that's what older guys say, the older players say. But I think they were rusty. I think they didn't have any rhythm. And I'll tell you this. I don't know that it was only just the players. I think Doug Peterson as a play caller didn't really have any rhythm. And I really think Doug is a good play caller, but he has to, and it takes time for him to get into the rhythm of the calls, and it takes game time for that to happen. And not having your quarterback all preseason and not really knowing what he's going to do in a game-type situation, I think that slowed him down as well.
All right, so, they weren't using Ertz early, which I thought was kind of peculiar. What was going on there where they didn't seem to have any zip? Can we attribute it to just preseason or what?
Well, I think part of it's a preseason. I think part of it has to do with Carson and what he's thinking about as far as what happened last year and everybody saying he's targeting Ertz. I also think that when you have DeSean Jackson, he presents a lot of different things. Obviously, the deep ball is there. And I think DeSean does a great job of running intermediate routes. He's a professional route runner. He does a great job of getting in and out of his breaks. And he presents something to Carson Wentz that he really hasn't had ever in his career. Torrey Smith was a straight line, go deep type of guy. Mike Wallace was a similar thing. DeSean Jackson can run a lot of different routes. He can help you in a lot of different ways. And I think you're going to see that relationship to continue to evolve over the course of the season. And I think Zach Ertz is still going to get his. I just think it's going to take some time to get his because right now Carson seems to have eyes for DeSean Jackson.
All right. What did you think of the running back rotation?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
I think that was something that I think Doug can do a better job of. I don't like Darren Sproles getting that many touches. And I'll say it like this. I loved it because he was effective. He did a great job when he got his touches. I think he's effective every time. There's no doubt in my mind that Darren Sproles can make plays. However, can he sustain that for 16 games and into the playoffs? I'm not sure. I just know that it's hard to do at an advanced age to sustain that type of workload. To me, I still would like to see even more Miles Sanders. I think he played well. He showed some explosive ability, some lateral ability right and left, some nice jump cuts. He continues to need to do a better job at his technique blocking. But I think more of Miles Sanders, a little bit less of Darren Sproles. I think Jordan Howard was okay. He looked a little slow to me, but once he gets going, he gets going. He's a load to handle once he gets going just a bit. I think he probably needs to handle the ball a little bit more to get him going throughout the game.
You going to call your man Deuce up and let him know how you feel?
Listen, if I see it, Deuce has to see it too. I mean,
but Deuce loves himself since pro. Deuce was working him overtime.
Yeah, I know. They wanted to keep him in. And again, this team was down. We were down 17 points. And so you want to go to the guys that you have the most experience with, the guys that you know can get it done. Darren Sproles just happens to be one of those guys. I think as the season continues, they'll have more and more confidence in Miles Sanders, and he'll replace Darren Sproles' touches just a little bit as the season goes on.
All right, quickly, just a couple things. The cornerbacks, concerned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's two concerns there. We didn't see very much of the pass rush early on. Obviously, that exposes our cornerback. And there was one play, and it may have been more than that, but one of the touchdowns, Jim Schwartz, he blitzed. He went cover zero, meaning no safety in the middle of the field.
That's the one where Russell Douglas got beat, yeah.
He's on the outside. He just doesn't have the foot speed to keep up with fast receivers. And the kid from Ole State, he's fast. And unfortunately, to me, that's going to scare Jim Schwartz from playing those types of defenses.
Because you can't single him out.
Yeah, you have to have the foot speed. You have to have the cover corners to be able to do that. And that scares me because that changes games. And they missed another one deep down the field.
Yeah,
and they
connect overthrew there. It.
The score was 21-20. We may be talking about a different game here.
Yeah.
So that's a concern. And I think that's one of the things, as we want him to blitz more, we have to keep in mind, the more you blitz, the more susceptible you are to the deep ball.
All right, last thing, because we've been talking about this. This is a topic of concern for people who heard about this. The Mike Scott tailgate situation where he actually got into a fight with some tailgaters and he was wearing a Redskins jersey. I know you grew up as a Redskins guy. Was it wise for him to do that?
I support people that support their local teams. I mean, I know he loves the Washington Redskins. He grew up in that Northern Virginia area. So I don't have a problem with it. I think as fans, we have to do a better job of controlling ourselves. You're not playing the game. If you wanted to play football, go out there and play football. That's not a boxing match. Enjoy the game. Talk trash. But it should never get physical. And I'm sure liquor and alcohol has something to do with it. It should never get physical. It kind of disappoints me because I think as fans, we're over that at times. And then we get kind of pulled right back into it. And we really shouldn't have those types of things.
Listen, you're absolutely right. However, the prudent thing here is to, like, you've got to be smarter to think that something's not going to happen. And when he puts that Redskins jersey on, he's kind of looking to tweak people. And I go, you play another professional sport in this town. Why would you do something like that?
Well, I agree with that. I agree about the sports part. That kind of changes it just a little bit from the point of, listen, you play for the Sixers. Philadelphia obviously likes you enough to bring you back again this year. You probably don't need to tweak it just a bit. But again, if that's your hometown team, and let's say he grew up a Redskins fan, a football fan, that team finally comes to his new city, I can understand him wanting to support it and not thinking that he was going to go out there and have a boxing match in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, he didn't have enough intelligence work, apparently. All right. He should have known better. All right, so tonight, the big show, Brian Westbrook, the Fanatic Pro Show. Tell me what this is going to be like.
Well, I am super excited about it. It's been a long time coming. Devon Givens and myself will be over there in Williamstown talking football. You know, this is all about football season. It's all about talking the birds, talking some X and O's about what happened in the football game. Did you like Doug Peterson's play calls? Did you like the defensive rotation? What are we going to do without Malik Jackson? How do you feel about the secondary? All those types of things will be discussed on the show. I'm super excited.
Beautiful. It's at the Super Buy Right of Williamstown, New Jersey. So if you're in that area, go out and hang out with B. West and Devon Givens tonight. But we'll look forward to it, brother.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Talk soon.
All right, man. There's Brian Westbrook. His own show. Fanatic Pro Show. Mondays. Yep. Very nice. All right, let's get back to the phones and go to Greg in Lancaster. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, Mike.
Greg.
So let me give you just an insight, and then we'll talk about the game.
All right, go ahead.
So the reason everybody is giving you such a hard time is because our culture is much different today. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and well, that's always been the case, don't you think? Are you talking about
the tailgaters?
Are you talking about the tailgaters, or are you talking about Scott?
No, I'm talking about Scott, the tailgaters. I'm talking about our culture.
Okay.
Hey, when I grew up in my neighborhood in Lancaster, if I did something wrong in a neighborhood and the neighbor saw me do it, he's telling me and beating me, I shouldn't be doing that. Then he's going to tell my dad's going to beat me and tell me I shouldn't be doing that. Today, nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions.
Well, the world changes.
I know the world changes. That's my whole point. So now Mike Scott should know better. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You are not defending the Eagle fans. You're calling them barbarians. It's unacceptable. You're perfectly right. But the reason everybody's giving you a hard time is because nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions. So that's why.
Okay.
You're saying all the right things. I agree completely with you. But that's why everybody's having a hard time with it.
Okay.
Now, what are we going to do about our secondary?
Well, I don't think there's much they can do about it. They've got to ride it out. They've got to hope that Jalen Mills comes back and helps them out a little bit. They got to hope Sidney Jones. They don't trust Sidney Jones. I'm totally convinced now. They just don't trust the guy, and they know more about him than we do. They see him in practice. You play Rasul Douglas ahead of Sidney Jones. You can't like Sidney Jones that much.
Yeah. And so, because next week, I mean, Jones is an NFL wide receiver. He's not going to miss the ball.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. They've got a problem back there. This Atlante, I can't figure him out. They've got a situation on their defensive line, which is really interesting now, on what they do to replace them with Malik Jackson out for an extended period of time. Now, they've got two guys on their team. They got Ridgeway, and they can activate Hector.
And they have Jernigan play, and Jernigan had a sack.
Jernigan will start.
And he had a sack.
About depth-wise, it goes to Ridgeway and Hector. But how about this? Is Chris Long on their radar to bring back? Because they brought him in a situation where they would put him in and they move Brandon Graham inside to tackle. Is that a possibility that they ring his phone?
Yes, because the reason Chris Long didn't come back was what you just said. What he
Jackson
wanted to
was
do
gonna get his plane,
was
going to
right because Jackson was going to stay on the field in nickel. Mm-hmm. Now on third downs, they probably will at times have to put Graham inside, which leaves a void outside for somebody next to Fletcher Cox. Graham the inside. Yeah,
very interesting.
That is interesting. And
now my man's just been sitting on the sofa smoking pot for like the last month or so because he admitted that he smokes pot every day.
Yeah, but right? He's not going to get tested. That's the thing. He won't get tested till they announce the testing. No. He got tested
for what? 30 days?
Yeah, but he got tested in April.
Oh, he did?
That was the day they announced the day. He's good till the next year. So as long as as long as he's been lifting weights,
okay.
They probably could make the call. What would you do? Would you go with a young guy or would you call him if you had to do one or the other?
I would see how this works out with Ridgeway and Hector in the rotation.
Okay.
And then act accordingly after that. All right, there are all kinds of tweets on the Mike Scott thing. After we put out a tweet that said Mike clearly thinks that the fans who attacked Mike Scott were wrong. At the same time, he thinks Mike Scott should have known it would happen when he wore a Washington jersey. What do you think? Terry, I'm going to Atlanta for the game, and we'll be wearing Eagles gear Thursday through Tuesday. I guess Falcons fans should feel free to attack me for it. No. First of all, you're a civilian. You're not a pro player. Which is what I put on the Mike Scott discussion. The fact that he's a pro player for another city, for another team in the city. And Falcon fans won't attack you because they're not as rabid as Eagle fans are. Right? So you don't have to worry about that. I know you're trying to be sarcastic, but you'll have no fear. Dominic, a fan should be able to wear any jersey/gear they want without being harassed. Period. End of story. Perfect world scenario, my friend. You can wear it. You're taking a chance with it. I think you have the right to wear it. In this case, Mike Scott, being a pro player, in my view, does not have the right to wear it. I think it's a total violation that he would do it. If he wasn't a Sixer and he just happened to be coming town, then he could wear it. Ice. I agree with Mike. I can't believe all these callers holding him responsible for what happened and how fans act. Mike's not every Eagle fan babysitter. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Prince of Peace. Joey. So a grown man can't wear a jersey of another team without the fear of being assaulted? Cool. Again, you live in a perfect world. You know what the reality is. As Mike Miss would say, Mike Miss is being intellectually challenged. So that guy didn't agree with my views on this. One lucky guy tweets in. He can wear it in his suite / box, not in a parking lot. Common sense, there are too many idiots out there. Yeah. David, you're allowed to wear any jersey you want to wear to the game and shouldn't have to worry about drunk bleep holes getting physical. Blame is 1,000% on the Eagle fans. David, to assume one would not be attacked for wearing an opposing team's jersey is a reasonable assumption. Heckling and smack talk, sure, but to be attacked? Mike likes to say bad fans of Philly sports is a thing of the past. It's not, and he knows it. I never said bad fans were a thing of the past. Scott, there is no reason to get into a fight of another team's fans ever. It's just a game. People like teams for lots of reasons. Grow up. Okay. Most of the people are on the perfect world side, where they're saying something that's obvious. The obvious thing is, of course you shouldn't be attacked. The reality is, sometimes you're going to be, because people aren't as civilized as you would think. All right, let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
I was sweating that game in that first half. It seemed like our offensive line wasn't moving very well, or whether it be rust or Washington was just bigger. We sure couldn't run the ball at all. I know the secondary is question mark, but finally in the second half, we started doing it, and I still feel good about them versus Atlanta. As far as the front part of the schedule, Minnesota did put up some points. Good weekend. Glad they won. You think they would have won without DJ?
Well, I mean, they hit two bombs to him, so maybe they wouldn't have won. It helps to have a one-play touchdown guy.
That
certainly helps. But I never felt threatened. At first half, even they went down 17-0. I said, the Redskins aren't going to win this game.
Yeah, I figured we'd make a dent in them sooner or later, but DJ, man, he sure looked good.
Yeah, he did.
And listen, on the Mike Scott thing, this is almost a legal question, because I know you are a lawyer. You know, about 3 years ago, New Orleans had a playoff game in Philly against the Eagles, and the cops were actually in Saints jerseys, just looking to provoke fans.
That's entrapment.
That's what I thought. That's the exact word I was going to ask.
Yeah, I don't like entrapment. They had the right to do whatever they want, but, you know.
But I don't think
it's not technically entrapment in a legal sense.
Yeah, it's kind of
it's faux
provocation.
It is provocation. Yeah, I don't like when they do stuff like that. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Misnelli Show. Around the NFL, the debut of Around the NFL. My five thoughts on what I saw this weekend around the NFL. Coming up, it's quick. It's musical. It gets to the point. It happens after this. 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sportsville.
The Mike Misinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Yeah, there's the music. It returns for another year. Football music. It's a little something we call Around the NFL. This is just five thoughts that I had as I noticed what happened in the NFL this weekend. So let's start with number five. All right, let me get this out of the way early for all you Cowboy geeks. Dak Prescott had a pretty amazing game. He's probably going to make more money than Carson Wentz. Cowboys beat a bad New York Giants team. All right, let's move on. Number four, no highlights. How about that, you Cowboy fans? No highlights.
Four.
All right, you know, we've been saying it all along. The biggest worry for Nick Foles, he's too damn injury prone. Oh, wait, that's the other guy. All right, in any event, the Folesian Society. In mourning today, their man suffered a broken collarbone after starting up pretty hot yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Smells like a smash just as he released a 35-yard TD pass to DJ Chark. Here is the play.
He's got it. There comes the extra man. Pressure coming. Lofts it downfield. One-on-one for Chark. And coverage makes it over the shoulder catch.
Nick Foles was sent to the locker room. He is in there with a trainer. They posted two security outside the locker room, and they are not telling us what the issue is at this point.
It's a shame for Nicky. It really. I don't take any pride in seeing a guy get injured, and that's a shame, especially because I backed him yesterday and picked Jacksonville. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, 378 yards, three touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, do you have him on your fantasy team? Nine balls for 198. Even Shady McCoy got into the act. 81 yards on 10 carries. Oh, my God, this team's relentless. The Chiefs won 40-26. Number three. I love it when a team is overhyped and starts believing their own BS, like the Cleveland Browns. Marcus Mariota, remember when we were saying, dude, a deal? He threw for three touchdowns, and little Baker Mayfield got picked three times as the Tennessee Titans routed the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland 43-13. Odell Beckham Jr., seven catches for 74 yards, and he wore an illegal watch. Afterwards, tight end Delanie Walker, the Titans, channeled a little Dennis Green.
They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. Still got to play football.
Look at that. Just squishing them a little bit. The Browns, maybe overrated. Number two, the tank is on. Yep, Tony Roden, Jakar Sampson, Hollis Thomas weren't good enough to get it done in the opener. Oh, wait a minute. It's nice, not the Sixers. It's the Miami Dolphins who are tanking. And what a damn mess. Dolphins got buried by the Ravens Sunday. Lamar Jackson went wild. He tied a franchise record with five touchdown passes. Who would have thought that? As the Ravens scored the most points in their history, they won 59-10. What a wretched sports city is Miami. Here's one of those throws. Jackson to Hollywood Brown.
First and 10 from the Miami 47-yard line. Jackson over the middle. Caught by Hollywood Brown. See you later. Hollywood to the house.
Hollywood Brown can run, man. Whoo! Number one. The New England Patriots have awakened Josh Gordon. So what chance does the rest of the league have when Antonio Brown gets in the league and then have Gordon Brown and Julian Edelman out there for Tom Brady? Brady throws for 341 and three touchdowns. Patriots crush the Steelers 33-3. And oh, by the way, Philip Dorsett caught two touchdown passes. But if Gordon is off the stuff, he is a monster. His touchdown catch, if you saw it, dude's a beast. Brady to Gordon, touchdown.
This one to Josh Gordon. Gordon breaking tackles. Touchdown, New England.
Hey, Al was a little low-key on that one. He hurled a guy, bodied another guy to get in the end zone. And that's 235 pounds right there.
And the local Boston feed put music over top of it. So I couldn't use their feed either.
Well, anyway, Antonio, you're with a good squad. You know, I got to say one thing. Is it a matter of time before their luck runs out on these at-risk players? Really, seriously, can their luck run out? They convert everybody who's troubled into a good player. Somewhere along the line, it's got to backfire, doesn't it?
Yeah, because people have said the one issue with Brown is he does a lot of freelancing.
Uh-huh.
And Brady doesn't like a lot of freelancing. So there could be some issues, and you know how he is when he doesn't get the ball.
I need some sparks. I need a situation to blow the Patriots apart. It never happens.
The other part is Gordon is great, like you said, when he's clean. You just never know with him.
No.
And what are the odds that he lasts all 16 and the playoffs? He never has before.
No, I want to see it implode. It never does. All right, let's go Chris in Jeffersonville. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Chris?
Great seeing you guys at Hooters last week. We should do that more often.
Thanks for showing up, Chris.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day. Anyway, has anybody mentioned how eerily similar this game was to the game against Jacksonville, the opener about 5 years ago?
I can't even remember five years ago.
They were two touchdown favorites, and maybe that's why I kept calm, because everybody in our section, too, was like,
oh, yeah, I remember the game you're talking about.
You remember. They were down 17-0. They were 14-point favorites.
Yeah. Who was the wide receiver for Jacksonville that had a big game that night?
Oh, God. Well, that's the thing. They did nothing in the second half. But Doug went for it. Or no, it wasn't Doug. It was Chip. Went for it on fourth and one before the half, and Sproles kicked off a 50-yard run to make it 17-7, and everyone was like, okay, we can exhale now, we can exhale. So yesterday was almost the same.
I get it, except this is different. This team is a better team. So I didn't get the angst yesterday.
And I did get clarification, I think, on the one tweet or something. Mm-hmm. You do think it's different for an athlete of the city of Philadelphia shouldn't be wearing the jersey. Just
definitely not an athlete.
Coming
definitely.
Up from D.C.
Definitely not.
There's always anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people in the stands. And in my section, I think there is just reserved for the opposing team. There's always somebody from the opposing team. Yeah. And as long as they're not, you know, a-holes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's never a problem. And there's always good-natured ribbing, at least for 99.5% of the fans.
Yeah,
except you're always going to have that half percent.
Exactly. But the half percent should be accounted for. Listen, Mike Scott is supposed to be now a member of the Sports Fiber of Philadelphia. So whether you grew up as a Redskins fan, the circumstances have changed. You can still be a Redskins fan. You just don't have to be outward about it because it sends the wrong message.
Well, and there's the thing. If you properly utilize security, there was the game that we were blowing out San Fran a few years ago. And there was this guy. We were having a great time. He was back and forth, but we were beating the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. So we just kept, you know, giving it to him. And then finally he just started getting vulgar. We called security. Now, the funny ending to that, when he got down to the bottom of the steps there, he turns around to the whole crowd and holds up his one hand and goes, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five. Mm-hmm. What do you got? This was before we won the Super Bowl. Yeah. But anyway, keep doing it up.
All right,
you guys
man.
Are great.
Appreciate it. Alan Hearns was the wide receiver for Jacksonville that day. Where is he right now? Still in the league?
I have no idea.
You know who he plays for? Dolphins.
Oh, not for long. Did you hear what happened after the game?
What?
There was a mutiny. All the players, a lot of players apparently called their agents like, you got to get me out of here. Because they're tanking so badly that they think the stink is going to stick to them when they go to free agency and stuff. You know how that is sometimes. You were part of a bad culture. Sometimes players on bad teams get those kind of bad raps. So they want out and they're.
You know, it's really dangerous to tank when you're a football team, though. Because, you know, the injury factor.
Well, what they're doing is the remaining good players are like, get me out of here because they're intentionally playing other bad players so that we lose. The players are playing hard.
Plandry Carr Sampson.
Right. Who's giving it their all. But if let's say you're a good defensive end and the other three guys on your line all stink on, they're playing hard, but they all stink. Look at all the double and triple teams you see. And then you get no money. You got to get out of there.
Yeah. All right, let's go Austin and Pottstown. Austin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, sir?
What's up, Austin?
Last time I called is when I called and ratted out Shady McCoy for spoiling the Avengers. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
So I'll tell you what, Shady McCoy, Sean Rodriguez, and Mike Scott, they're all in the same class for me now.
Yeah, Shady with 81 yards though yesterday. He's got a new life.
Shady. Yeah, true. But I'm done with it.
Listen, Mike Scott, it's not like he didn't do anything personally to you. He was just a little misguided.
Yeah, true, you know? But wrong situation. You're an image guy now. You're part of the city.
You're part of the fabric now. See, here's the thing. He was popular in this city, too. Like, you don't mess around with that.
Right, just a bad image. You're 31 years old.
LeBron took a lot of heat because he wore a Yankee hat in Cleveland.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't walking through the tailgate. And he's LeBron. You know, Mike Scott's a little different category. And LeBron saw the error his ways. He didn't do that anymore.
Tell you what, I got a quick question for you, then I'll hang up and let you do your thing.
Go ahead.
On Saturday night, you had tweeted out Penn State 9-3. I'm not going to argue with you. I just want to compare my losses with yours. Can you name the three losses?
Well, Michigan is one of them. Ohio State is another one. And Michigan State's another one. How about that? Am I going out on a limb?
I would say Maryland and Iowa.
And they could lose to Iowa. And guess what? Maryland, all of a sudden, is the hot squad.
Hey, I agree, man. Listen, have a good week.
Penn State, I knew they were going to cover against Buffalo. But their quarterback doesn't grab me. Kid doesn't grab me. You grab you, Tyrone? Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I was watching. Nah, that was rough. Mm-hmm. It was rough for a while there, but
I will be there next weekend.
Oh, you'll be down there?
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm doing a thing for the some journalism kids.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got like
you go like once a year, right? You do like, that?
Yeah, an audience with some journalism kids.
What are you gonna say?
Well, it's like a round table with some selected students.
I could advise them to become like doctors.
Couple of sessions with the Jern students.
That's nice.
And I still see the game.
Pitt. Be back with your people.
Yeah, Pitt.
Are you going to tailgate?
Yeah. You go tailgate with one of our sales execs here.
Really?
Jim Antez.
Oh, nice.
Has a big tailgate going up there.
Oh, that's fun. He's a great guy.
I run into people. I'm like a tailgate freeloader.
Right.
So like I'll go here and go there.
Yeah.
You know.
Bop it around.
Yeah. At least it's not like below zero at this time of the year.
Right. It's going to be beautiful.
Right. Now, will I be welcome?
Yeah, why not?
If they're ripping the program, will I be welcome in the stands?
Yeah, you'll still be welcome.
You'll be fine. Okay. Yeah, what are they going to do?
You'll be all right.
Boo.
No.
You can boo me.
You're pretty loyal.
Oh, you're going to say, all of a sudden you're at a game now.
You could have abandoned ship. You didn't.
Yeah. All right. 9-3, Citrus Bowl. Let's go. Come back after this with your calls.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Ah, 447. Oh, that's a good return. I like that. Are we changing up the music a little bit?
Yeah.
About time.
Junior Mafia.
That's Junior Mafia right there.
There you go. You need a little freshen up. A little Febreze on this joint.
Every song's been new so far today.
A little squirt of Febreze on this music in this piece.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to John in Fishtown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Mike, what's up?
What's up, John? Thanks,
first
buddy.
First-time caller. Tyrone, love Sixers Outsiders, man. Natalie, hell of a debut performance last night. I love the show. I'm actually the guy that called in and sent you the dog video.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
there's your source, Matt.
Yeah. She's really cute.
Thanks for giving us some airtime. We appreciate that. But I have a point about the secondary. But first, Mike Scott, Philly is a different breed. We're from Philly, freaking Philly. No one likes us. We don't care. If you don't know, now you know. You can't cozy up to the fan base late in the Sixers season and show up to an Eagles tailgate in a division rival's jersey. Now you know.
You know what's really funny? I'm getting all this Twitter crap about, well, if Mike Trout, well, even in L.A., even... They're two different fan bases. This is one thing you got to be smart about. This is a different fan base. The LA fan base isn't as rabid. Now, I wish it wasn't that way, but it is.
Yeah. The point I want to make about the Eagles secondary, I had to just vent about that Mike Scott thing to be the bonehead, but secondary, we have to be the most hurdled secondary in the NFL at this point. I think most of the time I'm yelling at my TV, Ronald Darby is on it. Sidney Jones just hasn't done what we want him to do. Jalen Mills, he's six at best. Here's my question. It might be out there. It's a thought. It's not a full, complete thought. With Foles going down, does it now cause a shift in thinking for a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who wants to play on a championship-caliber team? Could we theoretically package up something nice and pretty, put a red bow on it, ship it down to Jacksonville, and get Jalen Ramsey to come up here?
Well, I don't think Jacksonville's going to give up on their season. Get out of Miami.
I'm not giving up on the season. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, they're playing at Minshew. Where's he from, Minshew?
Washington State. They like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to do anything. They're not taking him to the playoffs. But they're not going to give up on their season now.
It's a food for thought, dangling the carrot out there in case any of your callers want to comment on that. But, okay. I've had a hard time with this secondary for a couple of years now, and I'm surprised we don't address it better. hoping it gets better. You know, the guys look great.
Ramsey makes big coin. I don't know if they can afford it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know the money side of it all. I don't know the dollar figures, but hey, that'd be great, right?
Yeah, Jags also added another quarterback today. They got the Josh Dobbs. He stinks. Tennessee, right?
They got him from Tennessee College.
He went to Tennessee.
Yeah.
He stunk at Tennessee.
But
Tennessee's 0-2, by the way, in college already.
I know.
Jesus, the Vols can't get it together. Man.
No, and that was all because they didn't hire Shiano because they decided that he knew about the whole Penn State situation when he didn't, and that was enough to push him out. And now look. And they were going to hire the Washington State coach right before he wins 11 games. And then at the last minute, Fulmer pulls in and says, no, you can't hire him. Hire this guy. And now that guy stinks. And Washington State keeps winning. So they get what they get.
Let's go Earl in South Philly. What's up, Earl?
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
I agree with you with the Mike Scott thing. But I'm going to take it a step further. I think he should be fined or suspended. Because looking at the video that y'all showed today, he pulled the guy's towel off of him and he took the first punch. To me, it's not even about you coming to the game with a jersey on.
Well, listen, I'm just looking at the genesis of the whole thing, right? I mean, whatever happened, happened. I'm looking at the genesis and I'm going, okay, there are some uncivilized people that will fight you at an Eagles tailgate. Two, you're going to poke the bear if you wear the Redskin jersey. Three, you play for another pro team in this city. All those things should be taken under advisement and go, you know what? There's no payoff. I'll root for the team, but I'll watch it on TV. You know, I just don't understand why it's such a big deal.
Right. I agree with
Mike
you.
Mike Scott could have defused the whole situation by being smarter than the uncivilized people.
And that's true. He's a pro. He should know a lot better than that.
Right.
And I like to say this, too. I think my man, Corey Clement, should get a start next week. I don't like Miles Sanders. He ain't proven no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm going for Corey Clement, man.
Why? Because you're from Jersey?
No.
Because he's a hometown guy?
No,
come on, man. Their running back situation looked good without Corey Clement yesterday, didn't it? What's your beef? What did they do wrong that they needed Corey? Listen, I like Corey Clement. Don't get me wrong. But what did they do wrong where they need Corey Clement to come to the rescue?
I just said they should have gave him a chance.
Why? If stuff is working with other dudes, why do you need another dude in there?
I don't know, man. I'm still going to root for Corey.
That's because you got a soft spot for Corey. Let's go Boggsy in Newark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Boggsy.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, man?
First off, I want to say Eagles, they played a decent game. They started out slow, and it picked up towards the second half. And I was paying attention to the Falcons game. They didn't seem too all that, team we need to worry about. They couldn't get it going on offense, and their defense didn't look as good either. So I'm not worried about them coming next week. I think the Eagles will get the job done down there, and hopefully they just pick up where they left off at and not start out sluggish again. Mm-hmm. And my second point is I want to comment on the Mike Scott and a previous tweeter or caller had already touched on it. We got to do better as a Eagles, as a Philadelphia fan base, man, because a person should be allowed, even a celebrity or a sports star should be allowed to wear whatever jersey they want. Because that's right, Mike Trout didn't get beat up for wearing an Eagles jersey out in L.A. when they played the Rams 2 years ago or whatever. You know what I mean? So we got to
do
better.
Well, let me ask you this. What's doing a better job? What are you going to do, collect your fingers and make people more civilized?
No, but, you know.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
That's why they think we should.
Yeah, but I'm asking, what's the solution? Because you know there is no solution. There's always going to be a faction of people who are going to act like idiots.
Yeah, I understand that, but the previous caller just now just said he believed Mike Scott should get fined and all that. I'm pretty sure it was self-defense, you know what I mean? So I don't know. We got to do
better. Well, listen, here's my perfect world. I'd love to stamp out gang violence, right? and people work, like the authorities work real hard to stamp out gang violence. Are they stamping it out? No. Can you walk into a Crip meeting wearing a blood color? But you know that going in, right? Even though in a perfect world, you'd like for none of that to happen.
Yeah, man, but we got to do better as a fan base, man. They look at us as monsters, man.
I see. It's one thing saying we got to do better as a fan base. It's another thing putting into play. How do you put it into play? How do you put the impossible into play? Because it's impossible. It's not possible to make everybody civilized. No. In a fan base. It's no. just not. Like I understand the realities of certain things that you're never going to be able to stop.
Right.
In a rabid sports city like Philadelphia, that comes with a faction of people that do not want to conform. It just is.
Yeah.
All right. 5 o'clock hours ahead, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.